As you all know, of course, being in this neighborhood, the time for Halloween is near this Thursday evening. Obviously, with all of the excitement in the neighborhood, the craziness, we won't have confessions or a vigil mass as we normally would not on Halloween. But the reason for the season, of course, All Hallows Eve is All Saints Day this coming Friday. So masses will be as normal on a holy day, 6:30, 8, noon, and 6 p.m. But a beautiful way to keep everything centered in our Lord as a Christian disciple, as all things are very, very centered on the Lord. So this Friday, a holy day of obligation, All Saints Day. Shout with joy for Jacob. Exult at the head of the nations. Proclaim your praise and say, the Lord has delivered his people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them back from the land of the north. I will gather them from the ends of the world with the blind and the lame in their midst. I will lead them to brooks of water on a level road so that none shall stumble. Thus says the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah in our first reading. These beautiful prophetic words trumpeted to the people of Israel and of course spoken in a very real and particular way, an overflowing, transcendent, beautiful way from the gracious lips of our Savior. And these words of sacred scripture are not accidental. Just as is the case with any beautiful harmony and music, our wonderful choir singing, we hear these beautiful notes, these beautiful hymns, these beautiful harmonies, the colors and strokes of a brush and a piece of art, flavors and a meal all harmoniously woven together. And my brothers and sisters, he is not a poor artisan. And these words of sacred scripture are living and effective, piercing between joint and marrow, in between bones. That is to say, inwardly penetrating the inmost depths of our being. There's nothing accidental. And we hear these words of the prophet. I will do this, says the Lord, through the lips of the prophet. And none of these details are accidental. We're told in this gospel passage that we're so familiar with that it was in Jericho. And we know the songs, the processions around Jericho, my brothers and sisters, this was the final stronghold before the promised land, the exodus of old. Right before the promised land, they marched with the privileged presence of God around this last stronghold and cried out with shouts, cried out. And upon this procession with this sacred presence and this shouting out, the walls came tumbling down. And they went into the promised land. They inherited it. My brothers and sisters, our Lord in this gospel passage is going into Jerusalem, going through these walls of Jericho anew, ushering people into a new exodus, a new promised land, himself being broken, the price of that gift, the true promised land, the true Garden of Eden, in which the Father delights and in which all things are made new. And we're given the name of this man whom he meets as these walls are crumbling down, Bartimaeus. This isn't an accident. These words, Bartimaeus, as we know, Bar means son of. Timaeus is the name of the father. Bartimaeus, and we're told this son of Timaeus is his name, Bartimaeus. But the irony of this name is that Bar is a Jewish word, Aramaic Hebrew, and Timaeus is Greek. How is it that the entire world is brought together in this man? Clearly, we're to see ourselves in it. For he has said through the lips of the prophet, I will gather them from the farthest corners of the earth. Yes, College Hill and Wichita, Kansas included. Here we are. Jew and Greek alike, male and female, all brought together in this immense throng that the Lord has promised from of old. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, calls out to one. The son of Timaeus calls out to the son of David. This likewise is not accidental. This son of David is a messianic title. It's one laden and rich with meaning. And Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, recognizes that in the son of David is this one through whom these things were promised. And he says, he cries out, the son of Timaeus cries out to the son of David, what you promised of old, do it now for me. Do it now for me. And Jesus, the son of David, in response to this cry from the son of Timaeus, from his poverty, from his brokenness, from his isolation, from his blindness, says, call him to me. And the son of Timaeus is brought to the son of David. And this calling out from the Savior is the word through which the church is defined, ecclesia, called out. This, my brothers and sisters, is this immense throng that follows the Lord, not just with steps, but with hearts that have been blown over from these prophetic trumpets, from this promise of mercy flowing from the heart and lips of the Savior. Call him to me. This is the church. Call him to me, called by name, son of Timaeus, his identity, called to the son of David. And what does he ask him? What do you wish me to do for you? These are the same words that we heard last week. They ought to sound familiar to us. What do you want me to do for you? He asked James and John. Oh, Master, we want you to do whatever we want you to do, is their response. We want to sit one at your right, the other at your left in your kingdom. We want to be a part of this political revolution. We want power, we want prestige, we want honor, and we want glory. We want victory now. Do you know what you're asking? He responds to them. But today, my brothers and sisters, in this same question, what do you want me to do for you? From this beautiful dialogue, from the crying out of the son of Timaeus and the son of David, his healing is restored. A beautiful and gracious gift of the Savior. And what does the son of David tell to the son of Timaeus after this moment, after this encounter? Go on your way. And immediately his sight was restored. And he followed him on the way. Remarkable. That what before was a way of sitting there, cloaked, begging, his way has now become the way of the Savior on the way to the cross. What a marvelous transformation. And at the moment of this calling to him, he had his cloak on, also not insignificant. He's blind. He's blind and people are throwing money at him. The cloak is the means by which their charity was collected. He didn't have to sweep finding coins in cracks because the money was placed on the cloak. The money was placed on the cloak so that he could easily retrieve it, gathering it up to himself with all of the money, all of the gracious generosity from the people collected in this cloak. And this is precisely what he throws away when the Savior calls him. He threw aside his cloak and he sprang up. He sprang up. What a marvelous example for us when the Savior calls. When the Son of David calls to us, gathering us into this immense throng. Why would we cling to our security? Why would we cling to our self-sufficiency? Why would we cling to our habits of old? Why would we cling to our limitations when the Son of David calls to you? This is the source of our hope. Not our resiliency, but this promise of the Savior, him seeking us out. That we can throw aside all of these things because it is the power of the Holy Spirit that is given to us in this throng, in this community, made anew by the Lord, entering into this new land, this new promised land, from which Eden and the promised land of old cannot even begin to comprehend. This is our inheritance through the Son of David. And what a marvelous gift it is, for it is God himself that is given. What a beautiful gift. And so today, my brothers and sisters, let us hear this call of the Savior, the Son of David. Let us receive a new identity, not just the son or daughter of our Father, but the son and daughter of God. This is what it means to be called out by Jesus Christ, to be sought out, to be summoned, to receive a new identity, son and daughter of God, son and daughter of the Father. What great joy, what great confidence. And so let us hear this beckons of the apostles, the disciples, as they become these new prophets of the Savior. Take courage. Get up. Jesus is calling you.